was looking at something on my phone, and I got to see it all. But how are you? This is Glenn Coble. We're having a morning on the air. That's the name of the show, and I'm glad to have you with me. I asked my puppy dog and executive producer a couple nights ago when I was planning this week's shows that I do, what should I do on, I don't have a guest on Thursday, what should I do? Neither one of us could come up with a good idea. So all of it, out of nowhere, I thought, well, you know, I have so many questions, maybe I ought to look up and see what other people question. So I started reading a couple of articles about questions during life. What do we need to answer? What questions do we have that we don't seem to answer very well? What questions can we ask that will make us better? That's that type of thing. So I started reading these articles and quite frankly, was both confused and concerned. Some of the questions that they said we should be asking ourselves, I hadn't asked in my life. And my life is now 76 years long, and there were some questions that I hadn't truly asked. I mean, most of these questions I had asked, but I hadn't really wanted to answer them. You know what I mean? What is life? Well, that's so vague. That's a hard question to even want to try to answer. So I'm not going to do that one, just because it's different for everyone. Some people don't really care about what is life. Some of us do. I'm not sure I care, quite frankly, to answer that, but I do like to think about it. I like, and that's one of the things, my audiences tend to be, I think, and this is just a supposition, I have no statistics to prove this, and I have taken no surveys to find out, but I would guess that my audience like to listen, they like to think, I'm guessing they're, if not more, formally educated, more self-educated, people that ask questions, a lot of questions, and I have had people call me and tell me I'm crazy because of the way I think. I've had people call me and thank me for asking the question that they had wanted to ask for a long time. I've had people call me and tell me that I'm wasting my time, nothing will change. Which is one of those questions that we're asking all of ourselves right now about all these shootings throughout the United States, and especially the ones that happen in schools with very young children. Something that's very hard to talk about, something hard to even think about. That leads me to my very first question. Why have we gotten to a point where, and it seems to be young men, so many young men are so angry. I don't have an answer for it, but it's a question, excuse me, it's a question that we should all be asking. Why are so many young men angry? Angry enough to go kill somebody, knowing full well that the chance of them actually being their own death are very high, but they go out and kill people. And especially kill young people. I don't understand why people would go into a church and kill people who are worshiping, and especially since those people tend to be the very older people. Now, recently we had that shooting in the Tops grocery store. I think it's called Tops. And there, most of those people... it happened to be in a neighborhood that tended to be Hispanic and African American, and most of those people fell into that realm, and that's what basically the shooter said himself he was going to do, is shoot a lot of those people. having a verklempt moment. I can't get the little frog out of my throat. No, I'm not crying. It's just there's too much dust in the air right now, or too much pollen in the air right now. But that's a question I think we all need to ask. We need to ask each other. We need to ask ourselves. We need to ask the question, what are we doing about it? We have a lot of people that are absolutely doing nothing about it. And the sad part about that is we have a lot of people that could do something about it that are refusing to do anything about it or just ignoring it. So anyway, that's a question that you can talk about over the dinner table tonight with your sweetie. I wouldn't talk about it in front of your kids, though. It might be something that would scare them. Not that I'm opposed to scaring kids. Ask my sons. Now, I didn't scare my daughter very much. My daughter was afraid of just about nothing. She was the last girl to play on the varsity boys soccer team. That's how tough she was. I wasn't too worried about frightening my sons and daughter. But I think you should be careful, very careful, especially if they're younger, about talking about that sort of thing, because you might frighten them needlessly, let's say it that way. But I also don't believe you should avoid asking questions like that. Our brilliant Florida governor, DeSantis, has decided that he doesn't want to talk about anything that makes anybody uncomfortable. I think he's an idiot. I'm sorry. Let's see, what does Dr. Feynman say? I think he's disgusting. but anyway, if you don't face things, you're never going to get answers, and you're never going to move forward. Now, my show that's on Wednesday is called A Progressive Life, and the reason why it's called A Progressive Life is I firmly believe that our civilization, our humanity, does not gain anything by trying to go back. Only by moving forward have we gone to the moon, have we made microchips, have we done almost everything. Well, everything. If we hadn't moved forward back in the Stone Ages, we'd still be eating raw meat and dying of whatever you would die of eating raw meat. So moving forward, I think, is of major importance. And that's why I brought this question up. All right, we just had a guest come in, and we're going to give away some. Oh yeah, for tonight, right? Okay, are you Bettman? Hi, I'm Glenn, and we are on the air. I heard you this morning. You were very good, and I'm talking actually about the questions of life, and I got really inspired listening to you talking to Scott this morning about the questions of life.
Well, that's what this is about, right?
Yeah, and I will, do you mind if I give one of those away while they're...
Go ahead. We talked about two different CDs. We got a couple copies of each.
Great, thank you very much. Have a great night. Bye-bye. See, this is talk radio, live talk radio. They pop right in on us. And that was Miss Bettman of Bettman and Helpman. And they're going to be on tonight, I think it's around 7 o'clock, on the program Five Nights on Campus out there at OSUM. It's a great program. When I was at the credit union, we're sponsors of it, I guess. So we got tickets for each one of the events. And I went to several of them. I didn't go to all of them, but I went to several of them and found them very enlightening. And that's kind of what we're doing right now, is we're trying to enlighten you a little bit. And tonight you will get more, through music and through discussion, you will get more enlightenment. And go out and see Bettman and Helpman tonight at Five Nights on Campus. All right. Anyway, we're talking about the questions that we have to ask. the number one question, and very few, now I shouldn't say very few people ask this of themselves, but there are a lot of people that don't ask this, themselves of this. What are my values? Now, if you can set up your values, which is one of the things I did when I started to run for office, more so when I ran for state senator than when I ran for trustee, but I sat down and I wrote up, I'm good at putting things on a yellow pad, you know, and I wrote down all the things that I truly believed in, and I found out an awful lot of them were not things that governmental officials here in Ohio believe in, or if they do believe in it, they're afraid to talk about it. That was one of the things I believed my value had to be, is talk about the things that are hard to talk about. But sit down and think, what are my values? You know, do you value, of course, we all, well, I shouldn't say we all value our children. Most of us value our children. That would probably be my top value, is my children and my grandchildren. I do love my wife, also. I had to throw her in there, right? 52 years, I better love her, right? And she's letting me buy an RV today, so. boy, that, I'm getting buyer's remorse even before I hand the check over. That's scary. But anyway, as we were talking, if you can find out your values, and that's what I did when I decided to go try run for office and get my derriere pummeled by my Republican opponents, is find out what my values were. I truly believe I found out what I find are my highest values. Like I said, my children, my grandchildren, my wife, family in general. But my next value is, I found that I really appreciated truthfulness, and I also appreciated and really supported the lack or not being hypocritical, and not judging other people, which goes hand in hand with not being hypocritical. I try very hard, and we all judge people. If I hear somebody drive by my house and they have a very loud muffler and it wakes everybody up in the neighborhood, and I judge them as they're driving by. Matter of fact, that's one of my terrible judgments right now. You find out if you can set aside maybe 3 to 5 major values in your life. Now, you'll notice I didn't say money. Money has never been a very high value. When you're a minister's kid, you don't have a lot of money. Not that we were poor by any means. Well, first of all, we were given a house. We didn't own it, but we were given a place. The parsonage was always a warm place to go, and quite frankly, it was a warm place to go for more than just the family of the minister. We had several guests that came and spent nights there. People that were homeless, people that didn't have any place to go, people that were hungry, that sort of thing. We did a lot of that. That also contributed to my values. My values, when I try to go to sleep at night and I'm struggling a little bit, now that's not a problem I have too much, but I like to think about what I would do if I won the lottery, and the first thing I think about is finding a way to build homeless people little tiny houses or a very nice tent section, or find ways to help my fellow man and woman out getting ahead. Another thing that I found while I was searching out my values, I am a heterosexual man, but I found that I have great friends that are not heterosexual. As a matter of fact, one of my better friends in high school was not. And we talked about it quite a bit. Well, not quite a bit, because it was uncomfortable to talk about. But it was at least something I was able to talk with Mike about. I found out that he was just the same as I am. I mean, he's just a nice person. He just had a different way of looking at sexuality, I guess you could say. And it was not a, and never, ever did I have to worry that he was going to approach me, because he knew my stance on that sort of thing. Next thing you have to really think about, if you've figured out what your values are, and you do have some values, and I'd say most people have values, some of them don't concentrate on their values, some of them more or less concentrating on how to get to the couch with a cup of coffee, or how to sit down at the table and have a beer. You know, most people are more interested in the more superficial things of life, day in and day out, including yours truly. Once you've found out what your core values are, those values that you have inside, things that make you sit up and listen, things that make you want to help out, once you find out what those values are you living your values? If one of your values is not to judge people, do you only not judge people when it's convenient? Like that gentleman driving his really loud car down my street, I judge him, unfortunately. And I probably wouldn't judge him if he was in the room with me. I probably would like the guy. He just ran out of money and couldn't afford to get a new muffler. You know, we never stop to think about what the underlying circumstances are around other people's values. And that's one of the things I fight with myself all the time. A lot of people say, because of my program, A Progressive Life, a lot of people say to me, how did you stop being prejudiced? Well, I am prejudiced in many ways. But I have prejudices about race that I fight every day. Why do I think about a person the way I think about them just because they happen to be black, or they happen to be Korean, or they happen to be Mexican, or they happen to, you know, any of those ethnicities? Well, I keep pointing out to myself, and I have to do this every time I even touch on something like that, is their mom loved them just as much as my mom loved me. And they are no different than I am or you are. Period. There is no if, and, or but about that. They are no different. Now, you might find people that are different in, you know, they have different values, and they live on those values. And some of their values may be really ugly. And if they are, try to find a way to forgive and help if you can. If not, stay away from them, because you don't want that to come over and affect your values, right? If you look back over the past 5 years, let's say, and I find, you know, that's one of the things I find very off-putting. I remember when I was in business, or actually when I was in athletics, people would say to me, what you need to do is think about where you're going to be in 5 years, or where you're going to be in 10 years, or where you're going to be in 20 years. Well, now I have to say I'll probably be dead in 20 years. So it kind of puts me off that people project out that far. Some of us don't have that much time to project. I project till tomorrow. That's where I project to. But when you look back over the past 5 years, what did you do wrong? You know, and don't blame yourself. You know, there are things that you and I know that we do wrong. And if you can look back, let's say you look back last year and you forgot to thank somebody for a birthday present that you really loved, and you really should have thanked that person. I know that's pretty superficial, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. I just had a birthday then. And I got lots of, well, no, I didn't get any presents, but I gave myself one. Yeah, that's what the RV is. It's a present to Glenn. Pretty expensive present to Glenn. anyway, if you look over the last year or so and you see that you really did something wrong, what could you do that could make that right? And I wouldn't beat myself over it. One of the things I always have found is that if I love myself, if I care about myself, and we're going to talk about love later. That's my dad did a sermon on love, and the different words for love in Greek, and it's quite interesting. And I'll mispronounce all of those words, but we'll talk about it. But if you look back and you've done something wrong to somebody, if you can correct it, correct it. It'll make you feel better. It'll make that person maybe has never thought of what you did that was wrong ever, except for that moment that you wronged them. Most people forget about that sort of stuff. A lot of people take themselves way too seriously in that they think everything they do, everybody remembers. Most people don't remember what you do. They don't remember where you went. They don't remember who you chastised. They don't remember very much about you. Now, if you are very rude to somebody, they probably will remember that for a while. Or if you were mean to somebody, they'll probably remember that for a while, but probably not very long. But if you can get back and correct it, go ahead and do that. And do it not like you want them to applaud you. Do it... what am I trying to think of? Do it in a way that says, I respect you, and I'm really sorry I did that. It won't happen again, that type of thing. Did you go back 5 years and find something you've done right? I really believe you have to love yourself. Love yourself, care about yourself. If you don't, nobody's going to love you as much as you do. We have an awful lot of young American men killing people right now who obviously have not learned how to love themselves or love anybody else. And I don't know why we've done wrong. I do know that our civilization has allowed young men to feel that it's okay to be rotten. I don't know why that is, but we don't seem to... find anything that tells them that they wouldn't want to be like that. And I know we blame it all on mental illness and crap like that. You can blame it all, you can blame everything on something else other than ourselves. But it is ourselves. It's the way we brought that kid up. It's the way we treated that kid. Did we call him a little fatty when he was in grade school? Did we give him a hard time because he couldn't run 100 in, 11 seconds or something like that? And if you would learn to treat other people kindly, I think if everybody would learn to treat other people kindly, and that's when I was little, that's what I thought America stood for, treating people, all people, kindly. Now, mind you, I was raised in a Methodist minister's home, so that was kind of the way we were brought up. But I thought all people were brought up that way, and maybe I have found out that I was wrong. But if we can treat each other well, and we can find a way to make things right with the people that we like the least, I think you'll find out life will go along a lot smoother. I know by liking myself and forgiving myself for making the mistakes I have made while still trying to correct them, my life has been pretty wonderful. There have been a lot of things, like I said, I'm having buyer's remorse already. I haven't even gone to get this RV. I have a lot of things that I beat myself up over, but they don't last very long. I usually try to sit and tell myself, hey, you did what you thought was right at the time. Now, sometimes my wife doesn't say that to me, but well, that's for discussion time, right? Hang on, I'm going to have a sip of coffee. I need a little coffee. Yeah, I'm glad I did that. It's getting pretty cool. all right. In looking back over the last 5 years, what did you do right and what did you do wrong? Don't beat yourself up. Don't praise yourself too much either. I know I have a problem with that. I really like what I've done all my life. And sometimes I praise myself and expect other people to praise me more than they should. but working with Scott, I find out that I don't get a lot of praise. He's a fun guy to work with. I really like Scott. Anyway, what scares you? That's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. What scares you? Of course, getting... well, you know what scared us this last week is we all were scared that something terrible might happen to our children. That probably is the one thing that scares me the most in life, is what could go wrong with my family? Or myself, for that matter. I wouldn't want to be in that situation myself. One of the things my wife told me... last week I said I was going to say something about the shootings in, I can't remember the name of the Texas town. Starts with a U. But, and she said, oh, you shouldn't do that because somebody may come to the door and want to do you harm. And I said, honey, if I don't say something like that, I won't be doing my job and I won't be honest with myself. So I went ahead and said it, and I was a little nervous about saying it, but I was not afraid, and I'm glad I was not afraid to step out and say what I believed. Anyway, things like that do scare me a bit, and things like that. And you never know when somebody's some crazy fool, ignorant, jack, I was going to say a bad word, but I won't. When somebody is going to do something to you because, well, you know, road rage. I've had people, I've succumbed to it myself a couple of times, but I've had people screaming at me as they drive by because I changed lane when they wanted to come into that lane, even though most of the time I do turn my turn signal on. I was brought up pretty well to do that. Anyway, let's see, where are we going? Okay, one of the things that was in this one article I found interesting because it didn't seem earth-shattering to me, but then I started thinking about it, and I liked thinking about it. What is creativity? And are we creative? Now, some people think the only way you can be creative is if you are a magnificent painter or you play the violin like, I don't know, I can't remember any of the really great violinists, or you are an architect that build 110-story buildings or, you know, that sort of thing. Are you creative? Well, you don't have, and don't beat yourself up if the answer is you don't think you are. But stop and think about it. You have been created throughout your life. This article said, why are some people creative and others are not? The ones who are not creative are afraid of admitting their feelings and don't give themselves due importance. And that goes back to liking and loving yourself. Don't be afraid. Okay, I used to like to watercolor. I haven't done it recently, but I used to like to watercolor. And one of the things you'll find when you do watercolor is the colors all mixed together and it looks like a mess at times. You have to learn how not to do that. But I didn't. I tried not to beat myself up for being such a terrible watercolor painter. Hey, I've got a phone call. Let's go back to the phone and see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, did you know there's been 20 mass shootings since Uvalde, Texas?
I saw that this morning on the news, yes.
20 mass shootings around the country.
It's hard, almost impossible to believe, isn't it?
Oh, it's unreal.
Yeah, and why is that sort of thing happening? Uh-oh, I'm getting phone call. They're telling me that my car is ready, I bet. go ahead.
You change your mind, huh?
Yeah, they might have been listening and heard me say I'm having buyer's remorse.
Did you watch the news last night, Chill Town?
I don't think I watched the news last night. No.
Yeah, Scott was talking about that. You probably talked to him, too. I know he talked about it alone and then with you, too, I think.
About what?
The speech out there at River Valley.
No, I did not. I have not talked to him about that yet. Tell me about it.
They had that part of the speech on Channel 10 News last night.
What part of the speech? I'm sorry.
Where he said that, you know, for the students to go on and live in, you know, God's way, or, you know, however he phrased that.
This was the superintendent of schools?
No, this was the guest speaker.
Oh, okay. No, I missed that.
And he said that means a man and a woman, or a woman and a man.
Okay.
And you haven't heard about that being an uproar?
I have not. I was so busy worrying about my RV that I really didn't pay much attention yesterday to anything but that and doing my show.
That's been a big uproar since it happened here in Marion, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of gays and transgender and people that...
Really? In Marion?
Oh, yeah. People that... it wouldn't hit Channel 10 News if it had been a big uproar.
Well, I'm being kind of falsely surprised. Of course, I knew there were, but I try not to pay attention to it. And I think you're the type of person, just having talked with you several times on the air, I bet you don't really pay much attention to it, do you?
Oh, it's interesting. I don't pay much attention to it. I don't necessarily agree with what he, you know, said. I think the speech at that graduation did not have to have, you know, God and that included in the speech. You know what I'm saying? It's just another way. You know, I'm like you. I'm an atheist. Mm-hmm. I was brought up Catholic, but yeah. You know, when you look at the picture and all the proof and all the science and, you know, the Bible and how everything in the Bible is practically wrong anyhow.
I'm going to get into that, by the way, in this show today, but go ahead.
You know, I can't believe in, you know, I'm more of an atheist. But
I'm that way, too. I really don't think of myself as an atheist, but I do tend to be atheistic in the way I approach life.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's you know, it sounds more like me too.
Yeah.
But you know, people are tired of religious people trying to mandate their values down to others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that speech down, you know, River Valley, for the right audience, it might have been a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
If you was talking to you know, Catholic school, you know, commencement.
Yeah.
That might have been all right.
Well, can you imagine what would happen if I gave a speech to students and started saying you should be atheists?
Oh, yeah.
The world would fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Scott didn't have any call-ins. I just wanted to talk to him because I talked to him before about it, you know, that what he said, that just wasn't the right place and time for what he said.
And I think you're probably the same way I am. I'm okay with him feeling that way. But if you're trying to tell other people they should feel or must feel that way, that's when you step over the line.
Right.
Telling them that if you have Christian values, that's a wonderful way of life. That's okay in a speech, but telling them that they, or implying that they should be the same way, that's going too far for me.
No, I agree with what he's saying. I don't agree with, I don't think people should be gay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was meant to be man and woman. That's my personal feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go around, you know, promoting it, and I don't care. If that's the way you want to be, that's fine.
Doesn't...
You know, I don't think there should be any repercussions, you know, towards you because that's the way you're...
Now, it doesn't... correct me if I'm wrong, but... And I don't think I am. I've read the Bible twice. I think I got this right. There's a point in the Bible where it says you should... pull the log out of your eye before trying to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. And it just seems to me that we don't have the right to judge other people. Christians do not have the right to judge other people, but they seem to be doing it so much right now.
Religious people judge people a lot more than an atheist person does.
Yeah, I think most atheist people take people at their, you know, what face value. I'll put it that way.
You know, that's like this abortion issue that they overturned Roe versus Wade. You know, just one step for them to start, you know, taking away LGBTQ rights and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday on the air. At some point, they could extend that, and I know this is going way too far, but it may not be going way too far. They could extend that to saying 14-year-old boys aren't allowed to masturbate anymore. Now, first of all, you're not going to know it anyway.
Are you going to rely on him and tell you the truth?
Yeah, no. No. Or little girls either, you know, and that's
right.
One of the things as a father, I've never quite faced up to. So, anyway, I don't know where we are.
But it's just life, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, it is life. And I'll talk about that in some of the questions that I read last night and the night before that I'm going to ask about, you know, what truly is life? Are we anything more than just smart animals? And that's really what I believe. We're just smart animals that have opposing thumbs.
No, I called in last night on Live at 5 show,
because
that's when I seen it, when that show was on. I called in there and talked to them about it and told them maybe Scott's listening to the show, and, you know, cause, or listening to Channel 10 TV. But I
bet their response was interesting.
Was the Pastor Craig done the show with him?
And I love that man. I think he's a great guy. But he's got a very religious attitude. Nate, I believe, is a fairly religious man. Terry on?
Yeah,
Terry. Terry tends to be more like you and me.
Terry said he went to it.
Oh, did he? Oh.
He was there.
Wow. Interesting.
But, you know, I haven't heard Pastor Craig going overboard about trying to push people in the religious way.
Well, he had me on as a guest, and let me say exactly what I believed. Yeah,
you know, so I commend him for that. You know, he doesn't overly push it.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the way I think religious leaders should be. Sure, if you want information about the religion, go to the minister, and he will tell you what he believes. I still have a lot of questions that I'm going to ask, and I will ask. I'll tell you what, when I asked my dad if he believes in prayer, that was kind of an interesting discussion that we had. So I'll talk about that in the next 45 minutes. So.
Okay, I'll be listening.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That gentleman calls us occasionally, always has a thoughtful always has a thoughtful question. That's the type of listeners I think I get on my show. People that aren't afraid to listen to something that's going to make them madder than a hornet. Or things that are going to make them say, hey, yeah, he might have an idea there. But anyway, I don't have enough time to talk. Well, yeah, I do. I've got 6 minutes. So I'm going to tell you about my discussion with my dad about prayer. I asked my father, and you shouldn't ask people that you trust. I asked Dad, do you believe in prayer? Now, mind you, my father is a Methodist minister, and at the time I was probably mid-teens. And Dad said, of course I do. I said, well, do you ask for things? And he went through a long litany of how you really don't ask for things. You ask for help more than anything else. And, you know, I kind of understood that, and I respected that, and I liked that. Because Dad didn't, you know, say, dear God, give me $1 million. He didn't say things like that in his prayers. Most of Dad's prayers, he told me, were to help people that weren't as well off as we were. And we were, by the way, not very well off, but we were okay. But then I said to him, well, does he ever answer you? And there was a long pause. And he said, of course he answers me. I said, well, how do you know he answers you? Does he talk to you? And he said, yes. And then I'm thinking, as a mid-teenager, how does he answer? Okay, Dad, what does God sound like? And Dad was stumped. And then he kind of fumbled around, and he said to me, well, I don't really hear his voice. And I said, well, then how can you believe that he's answering you? And he said, and I went along with this, he said he felt in his heart that the answer that he was hearing in his head was the right thing to do. And that always kind of stuck with me. You may not get the answer that you wish. Now, that's an easy cop-out, too, by the way. So many people have told me, I said, I've been praying for peace in the world, and it doesn't come. Well, it's not in God's plan. That, to me, is BS. Everything is okay if God decides it's okay. And I guess that's the way most people who are religious believe. But that's the easiest way to make something you believe in sound real, I guess. But I find that as a cop-out. If somebody told me... If I ask somebody, are you going to come to this meeting tomorrow night? And they said, I'm really struggling to find a good analogy here. I'm sorry. But I just find that the answer that it's not in God's plan is the easiest way to cover for a God that you believe in that maybe I don't believe in. Anyway, but Dad was kind of stumped when I asked him, what does God sound like? Well, God doesn't really answer me that way. Okay, well, how the heck does he answer you, and how can you honestly believe that you've gotten answers for your prayers? You may just be making up what you want to hear in your head. I don't know. That is a question that will go on forever. As long as there are religious people, and mind you, most religions stem from thousands or at least hundreds of years ago of people that still thought the earth was flat. And that's one of my questions with my religious friends. I don't ask questions of my religious friends, though. But my internal question is, how can you believe somebody that thought the earth was flat and believe that the sun revolved around the earth? I don't know. Anyway, we're getting down to the end of the show, the end of this period of the show, and I've got two pages more of questions we didn't get to. I hope you're enjoying it. It's all today's program is to open up those little gray cells in your brain and make you think. Make you say, Glenn's an idiot, or make you say, hey, he may have a point there. That's what we're doing. Okay? Come on back after the 15-minute break. Okay? Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.